children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about Him and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for He existed before me.' For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him." Father, I pray that as we are in Your Word, given to us by Your Spirit, that Your Spirit would indeed give us understanding. That Lord, according to the words of our Savior, would You please give ears to us, so that we might hear. Would You give to us life in our eyes, that we may see ourselves as we truly stand before You, to see the Savior as truly glorious. Use this morning, O Lord, for the honor and the praise of Your name. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. See you. In these first 18 verses, in what has been called the prologue of the Gospel of John, John gives us many hints to what he's going to be talking about in the fullness of his gospel. And one of those hints that he gives to us in the fullness of his gospel is a reoccurring theme of Jesus as the light of the world, who has come into a world of darkness. Now, that's not necessarily a very popular self-image of us in these days. We consider ourselves and this world to be a grand place to live. We are indeed citizens of the 21st century, able to be in contact with other citizens in the 21st century around the globe just by a push of a button, by a little box that we hold in our hands. We can have thousands of television channels on that box in our living rooms. We can go on the internet and find all sorts of information. We can avail of ourselves of all kinds of sources of recreation. And this is a grand time to live. Our stocks this past week have been going up and up and up after a season of going down and down and down. It's a grand time to live. Gas is even down. Life is great. And yet God would say, this is a place of darkness. One of the things I want us to hear and to continue to keep before us this morning is this, that what we are hearing this morning and our relationship with God is not so much determined upon how I see things or how you see things. It's how does God see things. And for Christ to come into a dark world, for as we have said, as the Word had to step down from His throne and enter as flesh this world of darkness, we must have been in a world of trouble. So Jesus comes as the light of the world. Well, Pastor, I still don't like this idea of you saying that I live in darkness. Well, why would I say that? I mean, that is sort of the bad news for the morning, isn't it? No one was hoping to walk in here and being told, perhaps with a figurative finger in your face, you live in a dark world and you are a dark person yourself. That's exactly how the Bible describes this world without God, exactly how God describes us when we live without Him. And so let's begin then with the bad news. The bad news is that without Jesus, who is the light of the world, without Jesus, each of us lives in darkness. Well, now, when I say that we live in darkness, I mean, I'm no idiot. I can look out the window and see this great big blazing ball of fire that I can't really look at directly for very long. What do you mean I live in darkness? I can see where I'm planting my steps. Darkness is often used as symbolism for sin. Oh, yes, I may be able to see my steps, but God accounts my steps. And He says that as long as I live against His holy word, as long as I am rebelling against Him, as long as I am living for self and not for God, then I live in darkness and commit deeds of darkness. Psalm 107, verses 10 and 11, describes those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. When we rebel against God's word, we place ourselves in darkness. Proverbs 2:12-15, Solomon writing to his son, and son, I'm writing these things to you to deliver you from the ways of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Solomon would say again in Proverbs 4, the path of the righteous is like the law, the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Yet the way of the wicked is like darkness, and they do not know over what they stumble. Indeed, those who live according to the deeds of darkness do not even know that they are stumbling. That's the self-deceiving portion of sin. They may feel that they're in a great, grand time. They do not know the darkness with which that they live in. And yet the Bible says very clearly that when we transgress God's word, we all live in darkness. Now here's the question. Who has transgressed God's law? Is it only John? And we should feel ourselves better than John? Everyone. For all, the Bible says. For all have sinned. Well, I've not sinned as bad as the other. I've not necessarily committed as many sins this week or even this morning or my entire life. I'm not as bad as others. Darkness is darkness. And when you have broken one of the laws, says James, you've broken them all. And so whether you've broken one law or them all, you are still in the darkest of darkness according to your sinful ways. Now this is the ongoing bad news. The darkness is also used not only in terms of a state of being and living. Darkness is used as a picture of the judgment of God. And so that not only do you live in darkness as you gossip, as you slander, as you think less of somebody else prejudiciously, as you are having lustful thoughts or you're disobeying the authority of those in your lives, as you're not honoring mom and dad and dads, as you're exasperating your children. Not only are you living in the sphere of darkness, but you are under the cover of darkness in that you are under God's judgment. We see this typified for us in the book of Exodus, as the people are in Egypt and Pharaoh is refusing to let his people go, one of the judgments upon Egypt was days of darkness. 3 days of thick darkness in the land of Egypt. The idea of darkness being revealed as the symbol of God's judgment is seen for us at the cross, when God's own Son, dying for our sins, and from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, Matthew tells us, darkness fell upon the land. Now that is so that you'll know that's from 12 noon to 3 o'clock. It wasn't an early sunset. Something happened at 12 noon that caused the entire land to go dark. And that something was the judgment of God upon the sins that His Son was paying in our place for. At least for those who believe. Those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will go on to see darkness and eternal judgment. Zephaniah pictures this horrid scene in Zephaniah 1. Near is the great day of the Lord. Near and coming very quickly. Listen, the day of the Lord. In it the warrior cries out bitterly. A day of wrath is that day. A day of trouble and distress. A day of destruction and desolation. A day of darkness and gloom. A day of clouds and thick darkness. Zephaniah does not picture a party for those who want to live without God for all of eternity. He does not picture a clam bake in hell for all your friends to enjoy for all of eternity, where you get to enjoy your sinfulness for the rest of the ages. No, Zephaniah pictures a great day of judgment and an eternity in darkness. 1 Samuel chapter 2, those of you studying through Samuel, you'll get here soon enough. It says that God keeps the feet of His godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord shall be shattered. Against them He will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. And darkness shall reign over the wicked. And you may be tempted and you may play games with the Bible and play the New Testament against the Old Testament when it indeed is all of God. And you may say, yes, but my sweet loving Jesus would never say anything like that. Then you don't know your sweet loving Jesus. Because your sweet loving Jesus said three times in the book of Matthew, Matthew 8, Matthew 22, Matthew 25, that those who refuse the good news that men and women can have their sins forgiven by coming to Him. Those who refuse to have faith in Jesus Christ and to give up on their own good works, but to come by faith, trusting in the person of Jesus. Three times, He says, they will be cast out into utter darkness. And in that place, there shall be and continue to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so that's who we are without Christ. We are not good people. We are people who are after our own selfish motives. We are not a people who seek God. Because the Bible says that there is no one who seeks Him. No, not one. We are all in darkness without Christ. Because we have all sinned and been guilty. And if we were to close the book there, all of us should go home weeping. Because if we remain in darkness now, we shall remain in darkness forever in the judgment of God. And that to be heavy on your heart, those of you without Christ. But praise the Lord. That is not all that He says in His Word. For the bad news is that without Jesus, we are and do live in darkness. But the good news is this: Jesus is light of the world. God, in His infinite mercy and grace, God, the second person of the Trinity, God, the pre-incarnate Word, became flesh and burst into this world of darkness with His glorious light. And there is hope. Have you ever, some of us maybe are old enough, and this is one of those old-fashioned games perhaps, played flashlight tag? Did you ever get to a place where you found a great place to hide and it was dusk? And it was so good that nobody found you, and it got really dark. Now, the way we played it was we got into the woods and played, not near a street lamp. It got dark. And there's that moment when you're kind of saying to yourself, is anybody going to find me? And to be perfectly honest, did I take a left to get in here, or did I take a right to get in here? And then all of a sudden, there was this quick flash. And you breathed silently a sigh of relief, because there was that glimmer of light. Perhaps you're not going to be lost after all. Jesus is the light that gives us hope as we live in this dark world. But He doesn't just merely flash for a second. The Word says that He shines in the darkness. Our works are not what gives us hope. Our works are what puts us in the darkness. But the work of Christ, He is the one who is the light. God is pictured for us in the Bible over and over as light for us. 2 Samuel 22:29, "For You are my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord illumines my darkness." Not my works illumine my darkness. By my works I can sort of have hope and get out of this dark abode in which I live and underneath the judgment of God. No, our darkness, our works put us in our darkness. What was it that we read earlier in 1 Samuel? "For not by might shall man prevail." It is not by being strong in the eyes of God that you are rescued. It is by becoming weak and admitting your humble need for the desperateness of your own soul and for your need for a Savior. Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" And knowing that God is pictured as light, and if we live in darkness and our hope is not in ourselves and our hope is in the light, that's a person. So that all of our Christian faith is not about our acts or our works, though our faith is reflected in our works. But all of our Christian life is about a relationship with God, who is our light. Paul knew this and says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. "We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus is Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." In the face of Christ is the light of the knowledge of God. Why? Because Christ is God. Do you want to know the light of the universe? It's not to be found at some near-death experience where you are moving through a tunnel and being embraced by the light, written by a heretic. All her books, Miss Eadie, E-A-D-I-E, former Mormon, who now believes that everyone is going to go to heaven. It is not that we are embraced by the light, by this amorphous vagueness of all creation. No, the light is a specific person. It is God. It is the person of Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God, who is the light of the world. This was prophesied over Him in Luke 2, that Jesus is the light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. What is Jesus revealing to the Gentiles and to the Jews? He is revealing God. This is what it is meant in verse 18. For He has explained God, because He is God and walks before us. Jesus is the light of the world and is God for us. This is why we read with great hope in verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, in Him was life, coming right out of the creation verse there in verse 3. Certainly we understand that Jesus, therefore, in Him was life that gave me being, that gave conception to my very existence and knit me and formed me in my mother's womb and even now sustains me. This Creator, in Him I find life physical, but in Him also I find life eternal, life spiritual. Because until I come to Him, the Bible describes me as spiritually dead. But all those in Christ have life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Or could also be translated, we'll look at this in a moment, and the darkness did not overwhelm it. Look at verse 5. The light shines. Even in the English, you can see this. What tense is that verb? Present. Even now, Jesus is the shining light of the world. That light was not snuffed out at Calvary. That light lives on even now and is shining in the darkness and is able to shine in your heart this morning as you believe in Christ, because this is the joining thought. We have thought number A, the bad news. Without Jesus, you live in darkness and you shall ever live in darkness. And truth be over here, Jesus is the light of the world. Well, I understand that, and that's nice, but what does this have to do with that? And so we move on to the good news applied. And the good news applied, the good news made useful for us this morning is this, that everyone who believes and follows Jesus has the light of life. Everyone who believes and follows Jesus has the light of life. Keep your finger there in John chapter 1. And turn over to John chapter 12. And go on to the verse 46. In speaking of this issue of we have all fallen away because of our sins and finding ourselves in utter darkness, it was John Calvin who said, "Now since John teaches that life was in Christ from the beginning..." We saw that in verse 3 of chapter 1. That life was in Christ from the beginning and all the world fell away from it because of sin. It is necessary then to return to that source of life. And why would I come to Jesus? Look at verse 46. Jesus says we should come to Him because He came. I have come, He says in 12:46, I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in Me will not remain in darkness. Everyone who comes to Him. Everyone. Those of you who are 52 years of age and you have played the church game and you know that you've done all the crossings of your T's and all the dottings of your I's and you've given every single Sunday morning to the church offering. That is not what gets you out of darkness. It is coming to Jesus Christ in faith, believing that His work on the cross is sufficient for your immortal soul. Do not think that your works somehow are greater than the work of Christ. Believing in Him, everyone who believes, but not everyone who has perfect attendance in church, shall be drawn out of darkness. Not everyone who dresses properly and primly and acts with all decorum shall be delivered out of darkness. Not everyone who is given more than everybody else is going to be delivered out of darkness. Not everyone who has a morning Bible study because it's their thing to do every single morning is going to be delivered out of darkness. But everyone, and only those who believe in Christ, are delivered from their darkness. Am I possibly making myself clear? It is not how nice you are. It is how great Jesus is. John would say in chapter 8, verse 12, "Again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life." You go over to 1 John, that first little epistle, that first little letter that he wrote, and towards the end of it, John, 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And this is our testimony, that he who has Christ has life. And he who does not believe does not have life. He remains in darkness. In Luke chapter 1, and that statement in verses 78 and 79, Zacharias is able to speak. Maybe you know the story, maybe you don't. Zacharias was the father of John the Baptist. And over in Luke, we're told that he was doing his priestly duties. And an angel comes to Zacharias. He and Elizabeth have been trying to have a baby. The angel comes, says, "You're going to have a child." Zacharias doesn't believe it. The angel says, "Fine, you don't want to believe me. I'm telling you it's going to happen, and you're going to be unable to speak until the child is born." Zacharias comes out of the temple. He's not able to speak for 9 months. He's hemmed in, can't say a word. His son is born. Finally, his mouth is open and he gives testimony regarding to John. But he also gives testimony about who John is going to be testifying about. And he says of the Lord Jesus, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high shall visit us." Well, that's straight out of Malachi. Malachi 4, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. Luke chapter 1, verse 78, "With which the sunrise from on high shall visit us to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death." Why would Jesus Christ come and rise with healing in his wings in this world of darkness to guide our feet into the way of peace? And you cannot read the way of peace without going over to Romans chapter 5 and realizing that now, because of Christ, we are at peace with God. We who were once His enemies, in the darkness, flailing away at Almighty God, rebelling with Him, though we don't feel like we are, we're just enjoying life and going through the motions, but God sees us as flailing and rebelling and revolting against His sovereign rule in our lives. And we're flailing away in the darkness, and Christ shines, and all who come to the light are brought to peace with God. Peace now, and peace forevermore. This is why Christ came, not to be your cuddly example of a good life, but to deliver you out of darkness, because you could not do it yourself. To show you the way of peace. Peter dramatically illustrates this change in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." We are the people of God when we are found in the light. We are not the people of God because we're members of Grace Community Baptist Church. We're not the people of God because our parents were great leaders in the church that they lived and worked and served and died in. We are the people of God not because we're the children of those who believed. We are the people of God when we ourselves are found to be in the light, believing in the person of Jesus Christ. We receive mercy when we are found in Christ. But if we are not found in the light, then we do not receive God's mercy. Going back over to John chapter 1. I read this week, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The light, in verse 9, is the true light coming into the whole world, enlightens every man. And there's some questions. What exactly does that phrase mean? Does it mean that everyone comes to faith? No, because verse 10 tells us that the world did not know Him. The world did not have right relationship with Him. Does it mean that all those that at least look to Christ shall be enlightened? Perhaps that's a portion of it. But here is the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. And He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. And the world did not know Him. Have you ever been in a cavern in the mountains? You go through those tours, and I think every tour does this. You get to the furthermost part in the cavern, and they make some joke by flipping out the lights and say, "Oh, looks like we're having electrical difficulties." And everybody's supposed to laugh, and those of you who are scared of the dark are just witless in fear until someone shines a flashlight. Who can miss that light? What do you mean? The world did not know Him. How could you miss who He is? Jesus sadly explains this for us. He says over in John 3, verses 19 and 20. Here's the light of the world. How could you not see? Jesus says this in John 3, 19 through 20. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. One of the answers why they did not come to know Him, be in right relationship with Him, is because they preferred their darkness rather than the One who is the light. They were much like those in Psalm 36 that we read of earlier. There is no fear of God in their eyes. When they're told of their iniquity, it flatters them. It flatters them that they are known to be sinful. "Man, did you see how many beers I put down last night? Do you see how many girlfriends I've gone through this year in school? Hey, call me a dog, but you haven't got a date yet." Those who live in darkness are those who describe, who even brag, find it flattering, the deeds of their own darkness. They plan wickedness upon their bed. Do you know what that means? I mean, even in the early morning light, when the alarm goes off, they're already meditating. How can I do some sin today? Their feet aren't even on the floor, and already they're running the paths towards hell. Jesus says there are many who prefer the darkness. They love the deeds of darkness more than they love Him. This is why Jesus would plead in John 12:35. Jesus Himself pleading, "For a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light. The darkness may not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes." Walk the light while you have the light. Those of you who are hearing the gospel call, the good news call to come to the light, to have faith in the person of Jesus Christ, come while you have this light before you. Do not think, "Well, I will a year from now, or 2 years from now, or a week from now." You do not know the way you are going. Do not kid yourselves, "Well, how bad can hell be?" You do not know the way you are going to utter darkness and destruction. Even today, cry out to Christ. For you have no excuse before God after this morning. And when your final day comes on earth, and God indeed should cast you, according to the words of His Son, cast you into outer darkness, you will only be getting what you've always wanted. You wanted life without God in this life. If you die in that darkness, God is only gladly giving you life without Him for all eternity. It is not God's judgment that He is withholding heaven from you, but He is granting your lifelong wish, eternity without Him. If we live in the dark now, we shall live in the darkness forever. And if you want to live in the light and with the light, serving the light, worshiping the light, praising the light, bowing before the light, lifting up the light, exalting the light, then that begins now. Now begin living by faith in the light, and trusting Him and praising Him and doing the deeds of light and no longer the deeds of darkness. At the end of this month, October 31st, in this church, we recognize that date as Reformation Day. October 31st is the anniversary in which Martin Luther hung upon a church door in Wittenberg his 95 theses about the things that were wrong with the church in that day, and began what we now know as the Protestant Reformation. Luther, in a Christmas sermon, and a portion of that I have copied for you to go home and read, in a portion of that Christmas sermon he says this: "It follows then that man has no other light than Christ, God's Son in the flesh. And whosoever believes that Christ is true God, and that in Him is life, he will be illumined and quickened by this life. The light supports him so that he may remain where Christ is. And as Godhead is an eternal life, this same light is an eternal light. And as this same life can never die, so also this light can never be extinguished, and faith in it cannot perish." What Luther is saying is that if you have the light, and the light shines forever, and the light lives within you now, you shall live forever in the light. And that's a great and glorious thing. Those of you who come to Jesus now can look forward to always being with Jesus forevermore, because the light will continue to shine. It will not always shine on this dark earth. But in the last chapter of the book of Revelation, He shines, as we sang earlier, He shines in the halls of heaven forevermore, in the new heavens and the new earth. The light shines, and so attach yourself to Christ and have the light of the world living in you now, and through Him live forevermore. And here's another word of good news for those of us who continue to live in this dark world. In verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Does not necessarily mean what we think and comprehend. Doesn't mean understand it, although we get that more in verse 10. Rejected Him and did not know Him, did not respond to Him correctly. But in verse 5, the word rightly means to overcome it. The light shines in the darkness, and though we may live in the darkest of days, darkness will not overcome Christ. Has not overcome Christ. Did not overcome Christ on the cross. For in 3 days, we believe that indeed God raised Him from the dead. Even now, sitting at the right hand of the Father, the light of the world never defeated, even dying in victory over Satan and sin and death. The light dying in victory, being raised in victory, even now still shining. And there will never be a day, no matter how much the sin mongers may want to sin, never will be there a time that Christ Himself will be overcome. And you who are found in Christ are also known in Romans chapter 8 as those who overcome the world. You are overcomers of the darkness. Which leads us into next week's sermon. If I am to be found as a child of light, what does that mean for me? But it is enough this morning to chew and digest the question, am I in the light by faith in Christ? Or am I in darkness under the judgment of God? I find myself akin to the words of Paul when he was asked, why do you preach? He says in Acts 26, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in Christ. Will you not today turn from darkness? Will you not today answer the Spirit's call to come to the light of Christ? Will you not today receive forgiveness that is found in Christ alone? And for those of you who have, will you not loudly, unceasingly, humbly praise His name? Let's pray. Oh God, even now, the evil one seeks to snatch away the seeds. Even now, the evil one seeks to whisper, you can put this off. Even now, the evil one seeks to dissuade those that you are dealing with and saying, it's not you, you're not that bad. You're not in total darkness. But, oh Lord, may we hear the words of Scripture loudly, that all those without Christ are now and forever face darkness. Will you not make souls to cry out, what must I do to be saved? And may our answer be, cry unto Jesus. May souls even now, Lord, even as we're praying, be praying the most pertinent prayers. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. I do confess Christ as my Savior. May today be, may this hour be, may this moment be the moment and hour and day of our salvation. Oh Lord, do your great work and deliver us out of darkness and into light. And Lord, for those of us who know Christ as Lord, may we think about this afternoon, that moment, that time in our lives where indeed we were delivered. We may not know the exact day, or we may not know the exact hour or place, but we remember when Christ became Lord and the light of the glory of God shone in our souls. May we this afternoon rejoice and be glad and praise You and speak to others, even this very day, about the miracle of faith in our lives. May we give glad-hearted worship to You that we are now children of the light. And may we worship You in the week to come by no longer practicing the deeds of darkness, but walking in the ways of light. May we as children of the light speak much of Your activity to those who are in darkness, so that they, through faith in Christ, may be forgiven and brought into the light. We thank You and praise You and humble ourselves before You. We pray these things in Jesus' name, who is the light of the world.